Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
I'm Bruce Chapman at the Discovery Institute, and today I'd like to talk to you about Pope Benedict's new statements on evolution and design, which happen to be right in line with a new book by two Discovery fellows. Almost completely ignored by the mainstream media are two new statements by Pope Benedict that speak of intelligent design in contrast to Darwinian evolution. First was a homily that he gave in Regensburg. Unfortunately, it was eclipsed in the news by that other more famous address there that mentioned Islam. The second was a statement only a few days ago in Verona, Italy, as covered by the Vatican Information Service. As someone who is familiar with A Meaningful World, the book by Discovery Fellows Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt, I'm amazed to see how closely Pope Benedict's statements about science and rationality resemble the arguments that are made by Weicker and Witt. The Pope's recent statement to the Italian Ecclesial Congress sounds like it came right out of Chapter 4 of A Meaningful World, The Geometry of Genius. Now here's an excerpt from Pope Benedict, as translated by the VIS. Verona, Pope addresses Italian Ecclesial Congress. Quote, "At the roots of being a Christian, there is no ethical decision or lofty idea, but a meeting with the person of Jesus Christ," end quote, said Benedict XVI. Quote, "The fruitfulness of this meeting is apparent, also in today's human and cultural context," he added, using the examples of mathematics, a human creation in which the, quote, "correlation between its structures and the structures of the universe excites our admiration and poses a great question. It implies that the universe itself is structured in an intelligent fashion, in such a way that there exists a profound correspondence between our subjective reason and the objective reason of nature. It is then inevitable that we should ask ourselves if there is not a single original intelligence that is the common source of both the one and the other. This overturns the tendency to grant primacy to the irrational, chance and necessity." Well, of course, chance and necessity are the main driving force of Darwinian evolution, aren't they? Well, now compare the Pope's statement with Weicker and Witt in A Meaningful World. This is from page 103. Quote, "For scientists, the greatest and most peculiar intellectual exhilaration occurs when they find that the order of mathematics illuminates the order of reality. This is not a passionless, accountant-like correspondence of lines and ledgers, but a participation in an ethereal union of beauty and truth. The beauty and truth of the mathematical order matching some aspect of the natural order. It is interesting that as biologists following Darwin have become more reductionist in regard to beauty, physicists had come to a new appreciation of the centrality of beauty in regard to the relationship of mathematical equations to reality." End quote. And here's another quote from A Meaningful World that's appropriate to what Pope Benedict has said. This is from page 99 to 100. Quote, "We have spent some time focusing on beauty because our appreciation of mathematical beauty extends to the most abstract intellectual realms, including those inhabited by theoretical physicists. We may now ask a crucial but frequently overlooked question. What right have we to expect that our human capacity for mathematical abstraction and our human appreciation of elegance would yield any knowledge of nature? If, after all, the universe itself were randomly produced and did not have us in mind, and if our own reasoning capacities and love of beauty were likewise randomly produced, could we reasonably expect mathematics to be an effective tool for us in working out the meaning of the data?" And then again on page 109, "As we have argued, if the order of nature pre-exists our attempts to grasp it, and consequently, if the strange effectiveness of mathematics depends upon the pre-existent order of nature to be effective, then nature is intelligibly and ingeniously ordered. Exemplifying both surprising depth and a stunning harmony and elegance. Such ingenious design necessarily implies a designing genius. End quote. Now, what makes this situation even more interesting for me is that both Pope Benedict, in his various addresses, his homily at Regensburg, as well as his recent address in Verona, and Weicker and Witt in A Meaningful World, both warn against making an idol out of mathematics. In other words, they say that we should not confuse the wonderful effectiveness of mathematics in helping us to discern the order of nature with reality itself. Neither reason nor reality is reducible to mere mathematics. They're both supra-mathematical. Hence, Pope Benedict argues that we need to have a, quote, broadening of our concept of reason. And then Weicker and Witt say on page 106-107, idolizing mathematics ends up in assuming that the only meaningful language is mathematics. And since our everyday language and experience are not governed by mathematics, then our everyday language and experience are not meaningfully related to reality. As a consequence, deep reflections based on our everyday language and experience are taken to be groundless. End quote. And of course, they disagree with that. They go on. The world of mathematics is a world of abstraction, a step away from reality, not reality itself. It is through mathematics, not in mathematics, that scientists find meaning in the data. The data is about reality, about the order of beings in nature. That is why reality always determines whether any particular mathematical formulation is applicable and effective. End quote. Now, let me turn to one final area. Both Pope Benedict and the book A Meaningful World argue for the unity of reason, which, of course, is a common theme in Western civilized discourse and particularly in philosophy. And both insist that both nature and human culture point beyond mere matter to a creative reason as the source of nature's order. The entire book, A Meaningful World, is given over to making that argument. The Pope makes the point more briefly, and he draws together theological implications. Of course, in A Meaningful World, Weicker and Witt are speaking strictly of the scientific and somewhat philosophical questions, whereas the Pope feels free, understandably, to include theological points. And here's what he says, quote, on these premises, it again becomes possible to broaden the horizon of our rationality, open it to the great questions of truth and goodness, and unite theology, philosophy, and science, respecting their reciprocal autonomy, but also aware of the intrinsic unity that holds them together. And then he goes on, we believe in God. This is a fundamental decision on our part. But is such a thing still possible today? Is it reasonable? From the Enlightenment on, science, at least in part, has applied itself to seeking an explanation of the world in which God would be unnecessary. And if this were so, he would also become unnecessary in our lives. But whenever the attempt seemed to be nearing success, inevitably it would become clear something is missing from the equation. When God is subtracted, something doesn't add up for man, the world, the whole vast universe. Now notice this next part, where the Pope speaks about creative reason. I should say he speaks about it with a capital C and a capital R. Quote, so we end up with two alternatives. What came first? Creative reason, the spirit who makes all things and gives them growth, or unreason, which lacking any meaning, yet somehow brings forth a mathematically ordered cosmos, as well as man and his reason. The latter, however, would then be nothing more than a chance result of evolution, and thus, in the end, equally meaningless. As Christians, we say, I believe in God the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in the Creator Spirit. We believe that at the beginning of everything is the eternal Word, with reason and not unreason. With this faith, we have no reason to hide, no fear of ending up in a dead end. We rejoice that we can know God, and we try to let others see the reasonableness of our faith, as St. Peter bids us to do in his first letter. Now, I want to mention here again that Pope Benedict is speaking of the unity of theology, philosophy, and science, whereas Weicker and Witt are concentrating on the main issues of science, letting the implications speak for themselves. And why, we ask, in this environment, have the media been so slow to pick up on Pope Benedict's exciting new statements? I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate here. However, I do know that a meaningful world is beginning to get new appreciation in the field of the philosophy of science. Unlike Darwinists like Richard Dawkins, who makes an impassioned case against God, most of the media want to pretend that Darwinism is theology neutral. It's not. It has implications. Weicker and Witt don't make a religious case, but they do show that design is intricately linked with the truly irreducibly complex fine-tuning of the cosmos, life on Earth, and the very elements that make life possible. And they find a compelling link between the nature of genius in human beings and genius in the universe. The Pope seems to be thinking along very compatible lines. I'm Bruce Chapman for IDTF at the Discovery Institute and the Center for Science and Culture in Seattle. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.